Sir Thurio, give us leave, I pray, a while. We have some secrets to confer about. Now tell me, Proteus, what's your will with me?
My gracious lord, that which I would discover, the law of friendship bids me to conceal. But when I call to mind your gracious favors done to me, undeserving as I am, my duty pricks me on to utter that which else no worldly good should draw from me. No, worthy prince, Sir Valentine, my friend, this night intends to steal away your daughter. Myself am one made privy to the plot. I know you have determined to bestow her on Thurio, whom your gentle daughter hates, and should she thus be stolen away from you, it would be much vexation to your age. Thus, for my duty's sake, I rather choose to cross my friend in his intended drift, than by concealing it, heap on your head a pack of sorrows which would press you down, being unprevented, to your timeless grave.
Proteus, I thank thee for thine honest care, which to requite command me while I live. This love of theirs myself have often seen, haply when they have judged me fast asleep, and oftentimes have purposed to forbid Sir Valentine her company and my court, but fearing lest my jealousy might err, and so unworthily disgrace the man, a rashness that I ever yet have shunned, I gave him gentle looks, thereby to find that which thyself hast now disclosed to me. And that thou mayst perceive my fear of this, knowing that tender youth is soon suggested, I nightly lodge her in an upper tower, the key whereof myself have ever kept, and thence she cannot be conveyed away.
No, noble lord, they have devised a mean how he her chamber window will ascend, and with a corded ladder fetch her down.
How?
For which the youthful lover now is gone, and this way comes he with it presently. Where, if it please you, you may intercept him. But, good my lord, do it so cunningly that my discovery be not aimed at. For love of you, not hate unto my friend, hath made me publisher of this pretense.
Upon mine honour, he shall never know that I had any light from thee of this.
Adieu, my lord. Sir Valentine is coming.
Sir Valentine!
Huh?
Whither away so fast?
Please it, your grace. There is a messenger that stays to bear my letters to my friends, and I'm going to deliver them.
Be they of much import?
The tenor of them doth but signify my health and happy being at your court.
Nay, there, no matter. Stay with me a while. I am to break with thee of some affairs that touch me near, wherein thou must be secret. 'Tis not unknown to thee that I have sought to match my friend Sir Thurio to my daughter.
I know it well, my lord. And sure the match were rich and honourable. Besides, the gentleman is full of virtue, bounty, worth, and qualities beseeming such a wife as your fair daughter. Cannot your grace win her to fancy him?
No, trust me. She is peevish, sullen, froward, proud, disobedient, stubborn, lacking duty, neither regarding that she is my child nor fearing me as if I were her father. And may I say to thee, this pride of hers upon advice hath drawn my love from her. And where I thought the remnant of mine age should have been cherished by her childlike duty, I now am full resolved to take a wife and turn her out to who will take her in. Then let her beauty be her wedding dower. For me and my possessions she esteems not.
What would your grace have me to do in this?
There is a lady in Milano here whom I affect, but she is nice and coy, and naught esteems my aged eloquence. Now therefore would I have thee to my tutor. For long agone I have forgot to court. Besides, the fashion of the time is changed. How and which way I may bestow myself to be regarded in her sun-bright eye.
Win her with gifts, if she respect not words. Dumb jewels, often in their silent kind, more than quick words do, move a woman's mind.
But she did scorn a present that I sent her.
A woman sometimes scorns what best contents her. Send her another. Never give her o'er. For scorn at first makes after love the more. If she do frown, 'tis not in hate of you, but rather to beget more love in you. If she do chide, 'tis not to have you gone. For why the fools are mad if left alone. Take no repulse, whatever she doth say, for get you gone, she doth not mean away. Flatter and praise, commend, extol their graces, though ne'er so black say they have angels' faces. That man that hath a tongue, I say, is no man, if with his tongue he cannot win a woman.
But she, I mean, is promised by her friends unto a youthful gentleman of worth, and kept severely from the resort of men, that no man hath access by day to her.
Why, then I would resort to her by night.
Aye, but the doors be locked and keys kept safe that no man hath recourse to her by night.
What lets but one may enter at her window?
Her chamber is aloft, far from the ground, and built so shelving that one cannot climb it without apparent hazard of his life.
Why, then, a ladder, quaintly made of cords, to cast up, with a pair of anchoring hooks, would serve to scale another hero's tower. So bold Leander would adventure it.
Now, as thou art a gentleman of blood, advise me where I may have such a ladder.
When would you use it, Prezzer? Tell me that.
This very night, for love is like a child that longs for everything that he can come by.
By 7 o'clock I'll get you such a ladder.
But hark thee, I will go to her alone. How shall I best convey the ladder thither?
Well, it'll be light, my lord, that you may bear it under a cloak that is of any length.
A cloak as long as thine will serve the turn.
Aye, my good lord.
Then let me see thy cloak. I'll get me one of such other length.
Why, any cloak would serve the turn, my lord.
How shall I fashion me to wear a cloak? I pray thee, let me feel thy cloak upon me. What letter is this saying? What here? To Sylvia. And here an engine fit for my proceeding. I'll be so bold to break the seal for once. My thoughts do harbour with my Sylvia nightly, and slaves they are to me that send them flying. Oh, could their master come and go as lightly, himself would lodge where senseless they are lying. My herald thoughts in thy pure bosom rest them, while I, their king, that thither them importune, do curse the grace that with such grace has blessed them, because myself do want my servant's fortune. I curse myself, for they are sent by me that they should harbour where their lord should be. What's here? Sylvia, this night I will enfranchise thee.
Oh.
It is so. And here's a ladder for the purpose. Why, Phaethon, for thou art Merop's son, wilt thou aspire to guide the heavenly car, and with thy daring folly burn the world? Wilt thou reach stars because they shine on thee? Go, base intruder, overweening slave. Bestow thy fawning smiles on equal mates, and think my patience more than thy desert his privilege for thy departure hence. Thank me for this, more than for all the favours which all too much I have bestowed on thee. But if thou linger in my territories longer than swiftest expedition will give thee time to leave our royal court, by heaven, my wrath shall far exceed the love I ever bore my daughter or thyself. Begone! I will not hear thy vain excuse, but as thou lovest thy life, make speed from hence!
And why not death, rather than living torment? To die is to be banished from myself. Sylvia is myself. Banished from herself. From self. A deadly banishment. What light is light if Sylvia be not seen? Unless it be to think that she is by and feed upon the shadow of perfection. Except I be by Sylvia in the night, there is no music in the nightingale. Unless I look on Sylvia in the day, there is no day for me to look upon. She is my essence. And I leave to be, if I be not by her fair influence, fostered, illumined, cherished, kept alive. I fly not death to fly his deadly doom. Tarry I here, I but attend on death. But fly I hence. I fly away from life.
Run, boy, run! Run and seek him out!
Soho! Soho!
What is that?
Can we go to find? There's not a hair on his head, but there's a Valentine.
Valentine?
No.
Who then? His spirit?
Neither.
What then?
Nothing.
Can nothing speak? Master, shall I strike?
Who wouldst thou strike?
Nothing.
Villain, forbear.
Aye, sir, I'll strike nothing, I pray thee.
Sir, I say forbear. Yeah. Friend Valentine,
a word.
My ears are stopped. I cannot hear good news. So much of bad already have possessed them.
Then in dumb silence will I bury mine, for they are harsh, untunable, and bad.
Is Sylvia dead?
No, Valentine.
No, Valentine, indeed, for sacred Sylvia. Has she forsworn me?
No, Valentine.
No, Valentine, if Sylvia have forsworn me. What is your news?
Sir, there is a proclamation that you are banished.
That thou art banished. Oh. That's the news. From hence, from Sylvia, and from me, thy friend.
Oh, I've fed upon this woe already, and now excess of it will make me surfeit. Does Sylvia know that I am banished?
Aye. And she hath offered to the doom, which unreversed stands in effectual force, a sea of melting pearl, which some call tears. Those at her father's churlish feet she tended, with them upon her knees, her humble self, wringing her hands, whose whiteness so became them, as if but now they waxed pale for woe. But neither bended knees, pure hands held up, sad sighs, deep groans, nor silver shedding tears could penetrate her uncompassionate sire. But Valentine, if he be ta'en, must die. Besides, her intercession chafed him so, when she for thy repeal was suppliant, that to close prison he commanded her, with many bitter threats of biding there.
No more, unless the next word that thou speak'st have some malignant power upon my life. If so, I pray thee, breathe it in mine ear, as ending anthem of my endless dolor.
Cease to lament for that thou canst not help, and study help for that which thou lamentst. Time is the nurse and breeder of all good. Here, if thou stay, thou canst not see thy love. Besides, thy staying will abridge thy life. Hope is a lover's staff. Walk hence with that, and manage it against despairing thoughts. Thy letters may be here, though thou art hence, which, being writ to me, shall be delivered even in the milk-white bosom of thy love. But time now serves not to expostulate. Come, I'll convey thee through the city gate, and ere I part with thee, confer at large of all that may concern thy love affairs. Thou lovest Sylvia, though not for thyself, regard thy danger, and along with me.
I pray thee, Lance, and if thou seest my boy, bid him make haste, and meet me at the north gate.
Go, sinner, find him out. Come, Valentine.
Oh, my dear Sylvia. Hapless Valentine.
But a fool look ye, and yet I have the wit to think my master is a kind of a knave. But that's all one, if he be but one knave. He lives not now that knows me to be in love. Yet I am in love. But a team of horse shall not pluck that from me, nor who 'tis I love. And yet, 'tis a woman. But what woman? I will not tell myself. And yet, 'tis a milkmaid.
Yet 'tis not a maid, for she hath had gossips.
And yet 'tis a maid, for she is her master's maid, and serves for wages. She hath more qualities than a water spaniel, which is much in a bare Christian. Now, here is the catalogue of her condition. In primis, she can fetch and carry. Why, a horse can do no more. Nay, a horse cannot fetch, but only carry. Therefore, she's better than a jade. Item, she can milk. Look you, a sweet virtue in a maid with the clean hands.
Oh, now, Senior Lopes, hear what news with your mastership?
My mastership? Yeah. It is at sea.
Well, your old vice still mistake the word. What news in your paper?
Blackest news that ever thou heardst.
Why, man, how black?
Why, as black as ink.
Let me read them.
Fie on thee, jolt head, thou canst not read.
Thou liest, I can.
I must try thee. Tell me this. Who begot thee?
Married the son of me grandfather.
Illiterate loiterer! It was the son of thy grandmother. This proves thou canst not read.
Come, fool, try me in thy paper.
There, and St. Nicholas be thy speed.
Oh, in primis she can milk.
Aye, that she can.
Item, she brews good ale.
And thereof comes the proverb, blessing of your heart, you brew a good ale.
Item, she can sew.
That's as much as to say, oh, can't you sew?
Item, she can knit.
What need a man care for a stock with a wench when she can knit him a stock?
Item, she can wash and scour.
A special virtue, for then she need not be washed and scoured.
Item, she can spin.
Why, then, may I
set the world on wheels when she can spend for her living?
Autumn, she hath many nameless virtues.
That's as much as to say bastard virtues. Well, that indeed, I know not their fathers, and therefore have no names.
Ear, follow her vices.
Close at the heels of her virtues.
Item, she's not to be kissed fasted in respect of her breath.
Well, but that fault may be mended with a breakfast. Read on.
Item, she has a sweet mouth.
Well, that makes amends for her sour breath.
Item, she doth talk in her sleep.
What's no matter for that? So she sleep not in her talk.
Item, she's slow in words.
Oh, villain that set this down among her vices. To be slow in words is a woman's only virtue. I pray thee out with that. I place that for her chief virtue.
Item, she's proud.
Out with that too. It was Eve's legacy and cannot be tamed from her.
Item, she's no teeth.
I care not for that neither, because I love crust.
Well, she's cursed.
Well, the best is she hath no teeth to bite.
Artem, she will often praise her liquor.
If her liquor be good, she shall. If she will not, I will, for good things should be praised.
Artem, she's too liberal.
Well, of her tongue she cannot, for that's written down she's slow of. Of her purse she shall not, for that I'll keep shut. And now of another thing, she may, and that cannot I help. Well, proceeding.
Artem, she's more air than wit, more faults than airs, and more wealth than faults.
Stop there, I'll have her.
Eh?
No, she was mine, and not mine, twice or thrice in that last article. Rehearse that once more.
Item, she's more air than wit.
More hair than wit. It may be, I'll prove it. The cover of the salt hides the salt, and therefore it is more than the salt. The hair that covers the wit is more than the wit, for the greater hides the less. What's next?
More faults than airs.
Oh, that's monstrous. Yeah. Oh, that word.
And more wealth than faults.
Why, that word makes the faults gracious. Well, I'll have her, and if it be a match, as nothing is impossible.
And what then?
Why then will I tell her that thy master stays for thee at the north gate.
For me?
For thee, aye. Well, who art thou? He'll stay for a better man than thee.
And I must go to him?
Thou must run to him, for thou stayed so long that going will scarce serve the turn.
Oh, why didst not tell me sooner? Pox of your love letters.
Now will he be swinged for reading my letter. An unmannerly slave that will thrust himself into secrets. I'll after to rejoice in the boy's correction.